Welcome to Connection Point, the podcast of West Kern Christian Center. For more information regarding the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit our website at wkcconnect.org. And now for the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. You can turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at some verses there. We'll flash some of these verses on screen. Well, actually, all the verses on screen for you. And before we even get to the ones we have on screen, I just want to remind you of a verse that we talked about for the last couple of weeks, because this kind of falls right in line with what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks when we talked about the communion of the Holy Spirit or the communion of the Holy Ghost. And let me just read this verse to you in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Bible said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so the Apostle Paul talks about this subject, the communion of the Holy Spirit. That word communion is the Greek word koinonia. We hear about that sometimes. We usually think of it in the context of fellowship. And so we have a fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to commune with us. He wants to deal with us in our day-to-day lives in relationship with Him, with the Father, and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in fact, said that when the Holy Spirit speaks, He would not speak of His own or in His own authority, but whatever He hears, that shall He speak. You know, we always say, well, Jesus lives in me. Well, He does, but He doesn't live in you in physical presence. He's still got a flesh and bone body seated at the right hand of the Father God. Jesus is in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it makes sense, does it not, that we ought to know the Holy Spirit. We ought to be able to recognize His voice. When He speaks, we ought to be able to distinguish that from other voices that are competing for our attention. And how many know there are a lot of voices out there today that are competing for your attention and mine, and we need to know the voice of God. And you can know. In fact, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, I lead them," or "they follow me, and I know them." And so He knows us, and we should know Him. We should know His voice. The Bible said, "The voice of a stranger, they will not follow." So we ought to be able to distinguish the voice of God from other voices that, as we said, are competing for our attention or masquerading as being the voice of God. And we're going to talk today about really God's guidance. But we also said that in addition to the personal relationship we have with God and the fellowship we have, this word koinonia also means partnership. And we are partners together with God in the greatest enterprise that planet Earth has ever undertaken, and that is the winning of the world to Christ. Not just converting, but making disciples of all nations. And certainly that includes Taft, California. Amen. Or wherever people are listening to this podcast from. You know, it includes the whole wide world. We've got job security. You will never run out of something to do for the kingdom of heaven. And you and I are to be a light in a dark place everywhere we go. Amen. So it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher or a plumber or a preacher or whatever. You can still be full-time in the ministry for the Lord. Not only just 5 days a week, 40 hours a day, but 7 days a week, 24/7, 365 days a year. And so the way we live, the way that we allow that light within us to shine out of us, and certainly the way that we declare and present our faith as we have opportunity, that's what we're called to do. And the Holy Spirit will help us. He will open doors for us. He will guide us through open doors that God gives us. He will lead us and guide us into all truth. He'll cause us to increase and grow and also anoint us to share what we know with others. Can you say amen? But I want to talk, like I said today, a little bit about God's guidance. How does the Spirit of God lead us in life? And this affects not only our personal walk and relationship with God, but also on the professional side, if you will, our partnership in doing the work of God. We've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. There have been times in my life I have suffered because I ignored the witness of the Spirit, the voice of God to my heart. I'm thinking of a particular moment right now that I choose not to share with you. But I can think of some embarrassing moments in life where just overriding that inward something that I knew that I knew that I knew, and yet I just went ahead and did what I wanted to do anyway. And let me just tell you, you can never make a bad choice and go against the Spirit of God and come out ahead. It's always going to cost you. You're always going to suffer for it. And so how many of you know it would be a good thing if we could, to learn to be led by the Spirit of God, and indeed we can. Amen. So let's look at some verses here. We're going to look at Romans 8, 14, and 16. And then we're going to jump to some other verses. And you, like I said, you can just look at them up on the screen or write the references down. I always encourage you, you know, take notes, at least write references down so you can look up the scriptures later. Because it's been said I talk fast. I don't know if that's true or not, but even my students are telling me now, you know, Brother Andy, you're always apologizing for talking fast, but that's okay because we can watch the video later, and I'm glad they can. So likewise, you can listen to the podcast. I used to tell people, how many of you are from the vinyl days? You know, the records, and they had, what was it? I forget the speeds. Now, 78 was the fast one, 45 and 33. And I just tell people, slow it down from 75 down to 33, and you'll be fine. You know, Just figure it out. Praise God. Amen. Romans 8:14, the Apostle Paul said, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Two verses down from that, Romans 8:16, he says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Notice that verse very closely, because it's going to be the lion heart of what we share today. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? If you've been born again for any length of time, and I were to ask you, you might say, "Well, I know because of what the Word says." And if I were to say to you, "Okay, that's great, but if you did not have the Bible, how would you know that you're saved? Do you know?" And somebody who's born again says, "Yes, I know." And you say, "How?" "I don't know. I just know that I know." And even though they don't maybe have the language to put with it, what they're really saying is, "I just have a witness in my spirit." And that's completely biblical. For you just to say, "I just know that I know," is right. And you'll find out that that's not just how God witnesses your salvation and the assurance of salvation. That's how He will guide you in almost every other area of life. He might give you a dream. He might give you a vision. He might give you something supernatural. But He promised that He would lead us by His inward witness. And so we'll see that as we go. Notice a couple of other verses. Verses Proverbs 20:27, and I'm going to read that along with Psalm 18:28 because they go together. Let me just read them to you. It says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." Dare I say, the answer is inside you. That question you have, should I go left, should I go right? A lot of times we're looking on the outside. We'll talk about that today. But really the answer, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching where? Out here? No, searching all the inner depths of the heart. The old King James says of the belly, meaning the innermost part of you. That's where God will speak. Psalm 18:28, again carrying on this idea of the lamp, of giving illumination, says, "For you will light my lamp, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Amen. So all these verses witness to the same truth, and that is that we who are children of God can expect to be led by God, and He will lead us by His Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And friend, that is good news. Let me tell you why. Because God has never yet made a mistake. Now, I don't want to take any testimonies this morning. Maybe you're as unwilling to share as I am. But have you ever made a decision? I just wonder if there's anybody besides me in this place this morning that did not work out so well. Did you ever make a decision that costed you? That cost you money, that cost you time, that cost you emotional stress and drain? I think all of us probably on one level or another could acknowledge certain decisions that we made that were not good decisions. And we look back in retrospect, and we can probably even tell now that something, especially if we were children of God, something on the inside of us was trying to flag us down and warn us and let us know, stop, you know, bridge out, don't go that way. But we went ahead and just, you know, stubborn as we were, doing what we wanted to do, went ahead and thought, well, you know, I just want to do it. If I make my bed hard, I'll lie in it. And we did. And we suffered. But how do you know God's got something better in life for you than that? We need the help of the helper. That's why God gave us one. And if He's there, it would be foolish not to consult Him on the questions of life and decisions that we need to make. You know, there's three primary ways in which you can make a decision. You can go with risk. You can flip a coin. You can say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. But how many know that's what we would call risky? If there's two options and two options only that you're looking at, you got a 50-50 chance of getting it wrong, and it gets worse from there. Because there might be not just behind what's behind door number 1, 2, and 3, there might be door 50 and 60. And so your chances go down dramatically if you're trying to just guess your way through it. Amen. There's a second way. Other than risk, you can try reason. In other words, you can consult the charts. You can do research. You can ask the experts. But what's wrong with that? Well, number one, it doesn't require any consideration whatsoever as to what God has to say in the matter. It has more to do with following the wisdom of men than it does following the wisdom of God. Remember what I've shared with you many, many times before. God loves you, and everyone else has a wonderful plan for your life. Amen. And a lot of people have an idea, an agenda, as why they think you should do what you should do. You know, we love our parents, but sometimes, you know, they feel certain they know, or maybe a good friend they know. There have been times friends have asked me what I thought they should do, and I gave them my best counsel. Don't get me wrong. We need parents, we need pastors, we need people, but there will come a time where you have to cut the apron strings, whether it's from any human being, and hear God's voice for yourself. And that's when you've got to start getting real honest with yourself, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, I know this is God, and you just go on and do what you want to do and kind of play ventriloquist and act like it's God's voice, when really all the time in your heart you know what's really prompting you. So how many of you know you can do that if you want? You know, you can fool people, you can fool some of the folk, but you're not going to fool God. You're going to end up paying the price if you're not making an informed decision by the leading of the Spirit of God. Another problem that's wrong with that whole reason business, is there's just too many variables. Because you're never going to have all the data. Number one, you don't know the future. How many of you know you cannot Google the future? Amen. You don't know. You don't know what's coming down the pike, and neither does anybody else. You know, when we had the big Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac thing, nobody, I don't care what you say, so somebody said so, but overall, no one saw it coming. Except for those that were listening to the voice of God. I remember back with the whole Y2K fiasco. Some of you might remember that. You know, the computers are going to go crazy and there's going to be World War III, and I don't know, you know, the Antichrist is going to come. So I don't know what it was all. But I remember in my spirit, I had friends buying tribulation food. Freezers full of meat and canned tuna and all this, because the world's going to come to an end. I don't know if you remember that, but it's when the dates were going to change over on the computers. Everybody thought the world was going to turn upside down. In my heart, I knew nothing would happen. I just knew it, because I had a peace on the inside of me. What happened? Nothing. Less than nothing, really. It was so disappointing. A little something would have been nice, I mean, for all that expectation. Nothing. And so what you've got are friends that are now having barbecues trying to get rid of their tribulation food. They're still eating canned tuna that's way beyond the expiration date. Amen. How many of you know we need to listen to our insides and what the Spirit of God is saying to us rather than what men are saying? The third way, the best way is the third one, that's revelation. These are God-guided decisions, and how many of you know that's best? Because as we said, God never made a bad decision yet. In Galatians 2:2, when the Apostle Paul was talking about following the witness of the Spirit and going up to Jerusalem, notice it says, and I went up by revelation. I went up by, how did he go? The Spirit of God told him to go. Jesus, the head of the church, gave him orders, but he heard it not from some outside source. He heard it from the inside, where the Spirit of God lives, and he continued his ministry and shared with the apostles that were there the gospel that God had committed to him. Amen? You know, when you know that you've gotten it from God, your feet and your steps are established. Now let's deal with the primary problem that I see anyway when it comes to people endeavoring to get guidance from God. How many of you remember the story, looking for love in all the wrong places? Well, how do you know there are some people that are looking for guidance in all the wrong places? And the primary problem is that they're looking for this guidance on the outside, rather than recognizing that God's leading always comes from the inside. The more you grow in the things of God and mature, the more spiritual you become, the more God inside minded you become, and you begin to turn your focus more into your own heart to hear what the Spirit of God will say to you. The more immature we are spiritually, if we're newly come to the faith or we've never developed ourselves, we tend to be more body conscious, because we can see this world. Our senses can grab a hold of it, and it's easier to recognize, and so we want God to speak out here somewhere. But you'll find that the more mature sure you are, the more you realize and are conscious of God's indwelling presence on the inside, and that is where He's going to lead you. Amen. You know, with a lot of people, they confuse emotional feelings with the direction of God. Amen. Now, I think most all of us that have been saved for any length of time know that it's wrong to consult horoscopes and Ouija boards or whatever. But if we're not supposed to consult the stars, why would we consult any other external evidence or circumstances to try to get guidance and direction for our lives? Let me read a verse of scripture to you. You can turn to this one if you like, Ephesians 2. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 13. The Apostle Paul talking about our condition before him, particularly talking about Gentiles, of which we were all a part before we got saved. Paul, speaking to the Gentiles here in Ephesians 2, starting with verse 11, said, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All that to say, friend, we are not outsiders. We are now insiders. We're not outside the graces of God. We're not outside the covenants of promise. We are not without hope or without God in the world. Once we're in Christ, we are in God. And we have a promises. We have an inheritance. And we have the guide on the inside that we can listen to so that our steps can be sure. Where is God? He's on the inside of you. He's on the inside of me when I get born again. In fact, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I mean, where does my heart stop and his spirit start? It's very difficult to distinguish. If I've got it in my heart and it bears witness with my spirit, then God's giving me his yes. If I don't have peace, if it's not bearing witness with my spirit, that's God's no. But it's down on the inside of me. Rather than looking at all these external things. And friend, when it comes to external direction, there's no end of voices you can listen to. How do we know which one is sure? You remember in that very intellectually erudite and very profound TV series, Batman. When Commissioner Gordon called, how many of you know Bruce Wayne picked up the bat phone? Now, any other phone in the house could have been anybody. But if the bat phone rang, right, it's Commissioner Gordon. This is deep theological stuff. I want you to know you don't get this everywhere. That was Commissioner Gordon, right? And you have a bat phone on the inside of you. When your spirit bears witness with you, you don't have to wonder, is that the devil? Is that my best friend? Is that my mama? Is that my daddy? Who is that? If that phone rings, if you've got a witness down in here, that's the Spirit of God witnessing to your heart. Amen. And you need to learn to be able to recognize that voice. I like that church. They talk about Batman there. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. If God lives on the inside of us, and we are one spirit with him, why would he use something as impersonal as external circumstances to direct us in life? Again, remember a couple of verses we looked at before. I'll just read them to you. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of his heart, of the depths of his heart. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. The Bible says, in fact, that God is the Father of spirits. We're one spirit with him. Where's that direction going to come from? Where is he going to illumine us? On the inside. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and start with verse 15. I want you to, in fact, you know me, I'm a big proponent, if you haven't heard me teach on this already, I'm a big proponent on praying Paul's prayers. Amen. There are several places throughout the epistles in particular where the Apostle Paul prayed certain prayers for the churches. You'll find a couple of them in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1 and chapter 3, in Colossians 1, 9 through 11, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, 2 Thessalonians, I think it's 11 and 12, and then 1 through 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. They're all over the New Testament. But they're scriptural prayers, because they're accounted for us in the scriptures. They're given by inspiration, and Paul prayed these for the church. Well, how many of you know if they'll work then, they'll work today? Because they're inspired. We know it's in line with the will of God, so we know God will answer these prayers. And so Paul prayed for the Ephesian church, and I want to encourage you to do a little homework and leave here today and pray this prayer, and some others like it we will give you over the next week or two. I want you to begin to pray these prayers over your life, because God does not want you to miss it in 2016. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and he wants you to hit it. But can I tell you that 2016 has a few landmines in it? Amen. You say, well, what if I go all the way through 2016 and don't step on any? Wonderful. Then you have followed the voice of God. I'm just telling you, the devil's going to endeavor to sabotage your way. And he's going to act like a ventriloquist and throw his voice and make it sound like something that really sounds good. Maybe even make it sound scriptural. How do you know the devil quoted scriptures to Jesus out in the wilderness? And so you have to have a discerning voice to know, is this God or is this not God? And I'll let me just tell you this. If I'm in the middle of a minefield and I don't know to step right or left, how many of you know right where I am is probably good enough until I get some further direction? And I think a lot of times we're just so eager to jump to the next thing. I know I'm that way. I'm very impulsive. I'm a go-getter kind of guy. I've got a lot of, you know, desire, drive, and ambition to do things for the kingdom. But there have been times where God has just put the parking brake on life. And no matter how bad I want, and I can sit in the seat and do this thing trying to get the car to go forward. But if God doesn't want you to go forward, just sit still. Hallelujah. Just stay put. Can you say amen? We're helping someone today, I know it. Notice it's Ephesians 1, starting with verse 15. Paul, writing to the Ephesians here, says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Here's what he prayed. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." The word revelation, it's a Greek word apokalupto, apokalupsis, it means an uncovering, taking the lid off. Your wife's cooking something nice in the kitchen, you want to know what it is, you go, you take the lid off, and there you can see, you can smell. And so God wants to take the lid off some things so you can see into His plan for your life. The spirit of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is a Greek word, Sophia, and it literally means God's what to do. We come to a fork in the road. Do I go left? Do I go right? And wisdom is an answer to that question. It's God's what to do. What do I do, Lord? Well, God will give you His what to do. He's got a what to do for you in 2016. He'll give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He goes on to say in verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know." That you may know. But notice it doesn't come from the outside. It comes from the spirit of wisdom and revelation He gives you so that your spirit can give a light and understanding to your mind. That you may know. And then He goes on to mention several things that we can know that we'll get to maybe at another time. But the point is that we can know the mind and will of God as He leads us and directs us by His Spirit. He leads us by His Spirit as He witnesses to our heart. And that's where He enlightens us and gives us illumination and understanding to our mind. Amen? Again, if we're not to look to the stars, why would we look to any other external source or sign for revelation? A lot of people, particularly in our circles, I would say they're oftentimes led by what I would call charismatic superstition. Let me give you a couple examples of that. "Lord, if you want me to go to such and such and do so and so, then Lord, may the porch light be on when I get there." Now, it's a little facetious, but you know as well as I do, people play those kinds of games. Here's one that's even more common. "Lord, if you don't want me to do it, just shut the door." What does that have to do with the leading of the Spirit of God? There's a lot of opportunities that might be laying before you that you could do. But think about it, friend. If there's more than one opportunity, several things laid before you, they can't all be God. And just because you can do it, you know, God won't stop you if you get determined purpose in your heart. It's not like He's going to stop you. If He was going to ever stop anybody, He would have stopped Adam and Eve. Amen? But He'll let you do things. "Lord, if you don't want me to do this, just shut the door." What's wrong with that? Number one, it requires no prayer or sensitivity to God. It's asking God to do everything. Second thing that's wrong with it, again, it's back over in the natural realm, where, by the way, Satan also has access. He can open and shut doors too. And again, just because God didn't keep you from doing it doesn't mean He wants you to do it. Amen. And let me just give this as an important note on this subject too. If what you're looking to do is contrary to what you know the Word of God has to say, it will never work out for you. You know, my pastor used to say this, you know, when growing up in the Southern Baptist Church, you know, before I came into full gospel circles, my pastor, he had a lot of wisdom, and he shared with me, "Randy," and said, "you know, people are always wanting God's direction for their life. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Why would God ever give you direction for His specific will for your life if you're not even following God's general will for your life?" And that's the Word. The Word, what it says to you, it says to me. And there's a lot of things where people are missing it simply because they're not doing the Word. You know, I remember my spiritual father, Brother Hagin, back in the days when they were doing the, and I've shared this with our congregation a lot of times, but we always have new folks, so, and plus I love the stories, so you know how that goes. But anyway, Brother Hagin, they started a prayer and healing center at Rhema, where I went to Bible school back when pterodactyls still hovered the skies. But they started this prayer and healing center, but very quickly it became a counseling center. Everybody wanting to come in and lay their problems out. What should I do? What should I do? And don't get me wrong, there is a place for that. There really is. That's what I'm teaching a course right now called Discipleship Counseling over at Summit. So we need to know how to help people. But a lot of times what we're going to be giving them on a micro level is what we're doing on a macro level right here. In other words, we're just going to be sharing the truth with them. We're going to be giving them the Word. Maybe something a little more tailored to them. But a lot of times people, rather than seeking the face of God and praying some things out for themselves, just want somebody else to tell them what to do. And so one day Brother Hagin's praying, and the Lord spoke to him and said, what does that sign on that building out there say? He said, it says Prayer and Healing Center. He said, it doesn't say Counseling Center then, does it? He said, no. He said, stop it all right now. He said, the only people I want you to counsel are the people of your own sheepfold, meaning your church, because they have a church there. And he said, people should be counseled in their own sheepfold. And he said this to him, and if they don't have a sheepfold, that's their problem. See, being a part of a local church is part of God's general will for all of us. And so much of what we're looking for would already be spoken to us if we had connections and relationships with other believers whom God could use to speak into our lives. You know, the Bible talks about speaking the truth in love. We grow up into Him. Speaking the truth in love to whom? To one another. The context is talking about your brother or sister speaking into your life. And I always ask people this. Who do you have that can speak into your life? Who do you have who can tell you you're wrong? You know, who will you listen to when they pull the word out, or just maybe even give you a suggestion that, well, why do you say that's God? You know, we can get real defensive. Well, it just is. The other part of that they're not saying is because I want it to be. But just because you want it doesn't mean it's God. You know, once we just because we've moved out of mom and dad's house doesn't mean we can get to do whatever we want now. We still have a heavenly Father. Can you say amen? And we still have to, well, we don't have to, but we should follow Him. Follow His guidance. And sometimes we would love it if you just speak out of the cloud. But more often than not, He will speak to you, if not in your own heart, through relationships that you have with other on fire, Jesus-loving Christians who have your best interest at heart. And you say, well, I don't have any relationships like that. Well, that's a good resolution for 2016 then, isn't it? Because again, if you're violating the known will of God, why would He give you anything else to be disobedient with? Amen. The Bible said the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. It doesn't mean He's built on the saints or anything like that, like some people have misunderstood. What it means is the revelation that God gave to the apostles and the prophets who gave us the Word. That's the foundation upon which the church is built. And by consequence, Jesus said that's the rock upon which your life must be built. Remember, Jesus gave that beautiful analogy. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the Bible said the floods came and the rains descended and so forth, and it stood. It did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. But the fellow who heard and didn't do, I mean, he went to church too. He even listened to the podcast. He probably got our magazine. But he didn't put it into practice. He didn't build a sure foundation of action in his life on the Word of God. The Bible said those same storms came and his house fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, they're building that new addition over on Hillard, and you go over there, and all those houses look exactly the same. I mean, they're, you know, and they're very beautiful homes, but they're, you know, obviously they're built similar. They have similar, I mean, on the inside they might be a different little bit, like a lot of these homes are, tract homes are. But on the outside they look fundamentally the same. But what if? What if one day they just decided, of course they wouldn't do this, but what if they decided or forgot to put a foundation under one of them? You know, you can sit a house on the dirt. Amen? But how many of you know that dirt is going to change as the rains come, as the floods come? And all of a sudden cracks are going to show up in the walls, and that house will not be. Pretty soon they're going to put a red sticker on it that says, non occupado. You can't be in this house anymore. Why? Because of a compromised foundation. And the thing is, what I'm trying to get at is, the only difference between a house that looks good and a house that doesn't look good is not something that's visible. The foundation lies below the surface. Amen. It's invisible to outward observation. So you can think, man, I got it dialed in. I'm looking good. But the one thing that will expose your foundation for what it is the storm. We don't want to wait till the storm comes for our house to fall. Realize we never really built a sure foundation under it. Amen. You say, well, this isn't what I came to get, Pastor. I wanted good news. Well, this is good news. It's good news if you walk in the light of it. Can you say amen? If you don't walk in the light of it, then of course, it doesn't feel so good after all. Amen. You know, if we don't build our house on the Word of God, or if we're in knowing disobedience to God, we open up the door to the devil, who of course comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so if we're walking in what we know to be disobedience to God, there's really no point in asking God for any further insight, because the only thing He'll deal with you about is getting that fixed, getting that right, so you can get back where you need to be on the sure path of truth. Amen? Again, God is going to lead us primarily by the inward witness, that intuitive knowing on the inside. One particular pastor that I like to listen to a lot, he's quite humorous in his delivery sometimes. He was talking about how some people that he was connected with, his pastor and others, had recognized the call of God on his life and had begun to encourage him to go to Bible school. And really, to be honest, at that time of his life, he was a full-time day laborer and involved with the church. And I think eventually he did come on staff around this time, maybe a little bit after this. But they were trying to encourage him to go down to London to a particular Bible school. This was in Great Britain. And he was up in the north of England, around the Bradford area, Manchester. And they said, you know, you need to go down to, or Bradford Leeds. He said, you need to go down to London and go to this Bible school. And he said, why? You know, this was not something that really God had dealt with him about. But these are trusted people. Good people. Good people can make mistakes, by the way. You do know that. I've given advice that was not good to dear friends that I thought was good. They've likewise done the same with me. And thank God we both, I'm thinking of one particular situation, we both listened to God and averted a landmine. But in this case, this, you know, this pastor is doing, giving him good counsel as far as it goes. In other words, for someone called of God, and he was, and has a very fruitful ministry today all over the world, but that could be good counsel. And I mean, you know, he probably went to that Bible school himself and was, you know, duly equipped and thought, I want to pass the blessing on to this brother. But this guy just did not seem to have that in his heart. So he said, I know what I'll do. I heard all these people talking about putting out a fleece. We'll talk about fleeces in a minute. I'll tell you, put out a fleece, you'll get fleeced. But that's exactly what he did. I said, I'll pull out a fleece. So, of course, in Great Britain, as you know, they have these double-decker buses. And, you know, people read double-decker buses, kind of one of their main public forms of transportation, tourism, and so forth. So he said, Lord, if you want me to do this, then in the next hour I want 3 double-decker buses to come by my window. So he said, I'm praying. You know, 15 minutes goes by, no double-decker bus. 30 minutes goes by, 40 minutes, 45. All of a sudden, here comes a double-decker bus, red one. That's one. And he prays, getting down the last few moments. 5 minutes, 2, here comes another one. Got 2, just need one more. He said, all of a sudden a single decker comes along. He says, what does that mean? God's confused. He's not sure either. He's like out on committee about it. Just wait, hold on. Now, if another single comes, do we add that to the double decker and say, okay, we got a total of 3, or do we wait for the third? I mean, you see how silly it gets. And you laugh, but I've seen people go through mental gymnastics that were almost as complex and confusing, trying to hear what God has probably been witnessing. Why was he wanting all that? Because he knew already on the inside that really wasn't God's will for him. But he felt this tug of war because other people that thought it was were trying to direct him to do something that he did not necessarily feel to be the leading of the Spirit. Again, the primary way that God is going to lead you is going to be on the inside through that intuitive sense of the Spirit in your own heart. Notice I said intuitive, not intellectual. Because again, you can do all the studies, you can think it through, and don't get me wrong, sometimes you say these things and people want to throw their brain out with the bathwater, thinking that now that I'm saved, I don't need it. Friend, you need it. I hope you still look both ways when you cross the street and don't look for the leading of the Spirit. You know, you don't necessarily need a witness from God whether you wear the white or the blue blouse. I mean, there's some things that are just, what do you want to do? And sometimes even in ministry, there are certain things, God's not going to micromanage your life. That's not what we're talking about. But when it comes to decisions where we know we need to hear from heaven, thank God we have a helper. We have a guide on the inside to whom we can turn and get answers. Can you say amen? Sometimes, you know, when it comes to my wife and I, for example, in certain decisions we need to make, I might have a sense in my heart, and what I'll do is I'll just run it by her. And if it sounds good to her too, and I already have that in my heart, but what if I feel good about something and she doesn't? What do we do? I just do it anyway. No, I'm just not. No, but like, for example, when we started this church is a great example. We had a work going on over, you know, I've been in ministry for 30 years plus, and we had a work going over at the coast, Central Coast, or in Paso. And it was difficult because we're commuting over there every Sunday. But I was on the radio over there for 2 years. We invested much, bought sound equipment, you know, the portable system we have back there that I'm sure we'll use for something else here, for outreaches and so forth. But we had that portable system. We were going over there. We had people helping us, supporting us in that work. And we did that for a couple of years. Well, you know, then Pastor Billy says, you know, we had talked to him about maybe doing something in this area. And we just kind of threw it out there. I didn't even talk to him about it. I talked to his associate about it. Next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call. Brother Randy, I just feel that, you know, this is part of our vision to start Extension Works. And now that you're here and we're reconnected, because he had ordained me back in 1987. And he said, I just kind of feel like it's time. We want to work over in Taft. And I love the way Billy and I operate is basically says, would you like to start a church? I say, yeah, I'll start the church. And then he leaves me alone. I've been doing this for a long time. And so he understands that. And we just have that kind of support and fellowship. But this is our work. And so it sounded good to me. I was excited about it. But now I got to call her. Because I work full-time, she works full-time. This is the first time in 30 years of ministry I've had a full-time secular job, but it's busy. And then I don't know how preachers do what they do in the ministry and play golf as much as I hear some of them do, because I don't do that. My hobbies are study. And I'm not saying that's not good, and I know she would like me to pull away a lot more and do some more fun things sometimes, and I need to. But I'm just saying, she'll tell you, I give myself to the ministry. No question about it. So, you know, something had to go. And so I talked to her about it, and I thought she would say, you are bat nutty. You've lost your mind. Start another one. What are we going to do with the one we got? What are we going to do this? And all that would have been legitimate. But this is what she said. That sounds exciting. And I said, I did call Maria a bunch. This is my wife. Because that was so counterintuitive to what I thought she would say. But when she said that, it just locked in my spirit. This is what God wants us to do. Now, I already had a good feeling about it. But if she had not, then I know me. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. So our church in Madagascar, yeah, we can commute there every Sunday. Sure, no problem. I mean, that's just kind of how I roll. So, and you think I'm joking, but flights can be cheap sometimes. So, you know, I'm crazy like that. So I need that counterbalance sometimes. Amen. What if she had said, no, I don't feel good about it? Well, I just said, well, it's worth spending a little bit of time in praying and see what the Spirit of God seems to witness to both our hearts. But God's not going to call a husband and not call a wife. Or vice versa. There should be a witness, an agreement. You know, God's not confused. Oh my gosh, I didn't tell Maria. Hold on just a moment. Let me give her a quick call, Randy, and then you talk to her about it. Amen? You know, there's really nothing you're going to encounter in life that's going to catch God by surprise. Wow, I didn't see that one coming. Amen? So, you know, a lot of this isn't really all that confusing. We make it confusing oftentimes because we're being driven by something other than the witness of the Spirit. We have our own motives, our own desires that get confused for, only because we let them get confused for, the will of God. If we could just get to a place of faith and realizing that whatever God wants for you, leads you to do, or doesn't want you to do, is for your best. Amen. But let me just say this too. Others are counting on your obedience. What if we had not started this church? What if we had just said, you know, we feel good about Passover, we're going to continue with that. You know, there might have been a certain measure of blessing. I don't know. But when we've had testimonies here, and you know, it's a relatively small work. We look around, we're right at the 2-year mark or thereabout, and we're still a small congregation. But do you measure success and fruitfulness on the basis of how many people you have coming? What I hear when I hear people testify about what God has done in their lives through the work of this ministry, it shocks me. Not because I don't believe God's working, but there's so much happening beneath the surface that you don't know till somebody decides, you know, well, maybe we have a testimony time or whatever. But think back, some of you. Is there anyone here who could say, my life would be very different if we hadn't found West Kern Christian Center? I think so. I think a lot of people, yeah, Sharon, would say, now, that's nothing about us. We just happen to be, it could have been anyone God chose to use. But my point is, our obedience is not just about us. Our obedience to the plan of God also is about those who will be impacted by what we do to obey God. So when we're kind of cavalier about, yeah, I'll do this or I won't do this, or I'll obey God, I won't obey God, that selfishness is one of the reasons why oftentimes the church is no more impactful than she is. You know, we are the church of Jesus Christ, a body, right? Locally we're a body, but also corporately the church is a body. The people that are reaching Taft are not the church in China, right? The people that are touching Taft are hopefully the church in Taft. Amen. Now, what if we, on our end, decide to be a dysfunctional member? Then Taft is not reached. Likewise, on a local level, in the corporate church. What if God has a function or service for you to do, and you even kind of feel, I think the Lord would have me do that, but then you allow your fears, the baggage, maybe from somewhere else you served, it didn't go so well, or whatever, your insecurities. 1,001 reasons why maybe we don't step out. But is it just affecting you? No. It's affecting anyone whom God would have put in your path to be blessed by what you impart. Amen. You know, like I said, recently I kind of stumbled into this teaching position over there at Summit. Now, you know, like I said, I've been in ministry for a lot of years now. And what happens when you begin to accumulate knowledge over time? You know, I've heard myself share these things so many times. It's nothing new to me, you know. But it's kind of like when I went to New England the first time. You know, God led me to New England. We pioneered a work. We were there for 10 years. Traveled there for 6 years before that. But, you know, there would be things that I would say in passing that I did not even think were consequential. They were just kind of like a point on the way to my point. And I would see people's eyes light up. And I would say, wow. And I realized not everybody's had the privilege. See, the reason why God, when I was a kid, spoke to me about, I'm using me as an analogy, this think about you in your life. But the reason why God spoke to me as a child about the call of God on my life, that intuitive sense all along, then at the age of 18, surrendering to that call, going to Bible school. It's like what was the same? Ray McCauley said, when God anointed you, it's because he had someone else on his mind. So that call on my life wasn't about me. It's not about, oh, you're such a great something or other. It's about God loving people to whom he wants to give answers, to whom he wants to see grow. I've shared this story before. I'll close with this. I was in Connecticut. Next week we'll talk about what the witness isn't and what it is, and we'll get very specific. But I was in Connecticut. Oh, I'm sorry. No, let me back up. I was at Rhema going to church there in the traveling ministry. My family, my comrade that traveled with me and his wife. And whenever we would drop off the kids to, Rhema's a huge church, 5,000 plus. So whenever you got a church like that, your parking lot's like, you know, the Safeway parking lot down there, and it's full. And so you park your car, they would have, you know, golf carts taking, you know, elderly and people that are infirmed up there. It's a long walk. So we'd get up there, you know, you're loading kids and everything, and you take them to four different classes because they're ages, you know. So by the time you finally get into church, you spent 20, 30 minutes just getting everything, you know. So you're frazzled, right? So I'm handing my, at that time, Cameron, who's spoken for us, I'm handing him over the little half door to the nursery worker, who takes him out of my hands and looks at me with a sudden look of recognition. Brother Randy! I said, hi! You don't know me, do you? No, I don't. Because, you know, you travel, you see lots of people. She said, where's such and such? And she mentioned her name. We go to Pastor Barry's church in Newtown, Connecticut. Well, now I know the church. And I can't say I remembered them, but then she said, let me tell you why we're here, meaning at Bible school. She said, you and Rick came and did a Holy Ghost meeting at our church. You're preaching along, just minding your own business, and all of a sudden you stopped in the middle of your message and said, there's someone here who told God you need to go to, that you told God such and such a time that you'd go to Bible school and you've never done it, you need to obey God and do it, and then you went on with your message like you hadn't said anything. I can't remember that to save my life. Now when she said it, it was kind of like, wow, I kind of, like on the edge of your memory. But a lot of times you're just flowing with the Spirit of God, you're not conscious of it. She said, that was my husband. And she said, we're here in obedience to the call of God that you spoke about in the midst of that message in Connecticut. Now here I am, born in Taft, traveled, you know, throughout the United States, land in Newtown, deliver this word to her. Her and her husband come. Her daughter, by the way, became good friends with my oldest daughter during their time there. And then they end up going to youth ministry in North Carolina. Think about the connections. Isn't that kind of wild? I mean, you got Taft, Oklahoma, because that's where we were living, Newtown, Connecticut, and North Carolina. Now, how would you have figured that one out? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think I need to go here. Reason says, all the flow charts say, you can't get there that way. You just have to follow the plan and purpose of God for your life. That neighbor you took a bag of groceries to and just encouraged, you didn't know they were going to commit suicide that night, but somebody invested a little love and kindness to them. We've had that kind of stuff happen. We go to do meetings and, you know, God touches someone. They said, you know, I didn't tell anybody, but for the last 2 weeks I've been plotting my suicide. But God intervened tonight. How do you write a script for that? And you know, a lot of this is just not necessarily you feel the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt go here. You're just following the plan of God for your life. It just seems good to do this. It just seems good in my heart. Feels like the Lord would say that we should. And yet all the time, what is this about? It's about people. It's about investing in others by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Just sharing word. These students I was talking about, you know, I just got an email I read to my wife last night, because it blesses me when people get blessed. And she said, you know, Brother Randy, she said, you know, you're always apologizing for talking so fast. And she said, but it's just there's so much you have to say to us. And she said, and we can always go back and watch the video later. And she was just sharing out of her heart. Now, here's someone preparing for ministry themselves. And so then there's going to come a time where she'll share something, and she won't even remember where she heard it. But somewhere back in that Summit Bible School class, some little anecdote, some story, there are people who imparted my life and gave me substantive information that I couldn't even tell you their name. But they were just in the right place at the right time, doing what God told them to do, fulfilling the call of God, being led by the Spirit, just investing their lives into His purposes. You say, Brother Andy, that sounds good. I really want to know what God's will for my life is. Well, like I shared with you before, start with what you know. Start with the Word. Get plugged in somewhere, get committed, get planted, get rooted in a local church. And then, like I've said, you know, just invest in the people.
Hallelujah.
Just invest in the people.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Just impart to people. You know, invest in them. You know, like, in fact, it was, who is he? He's a leadership guy. Maxwell, John Maxwell said, you know, leadership is influence. And that's true. You know, you can have a pastor, but whoever has the most influence in the church is they're the leader. So as a pastor, you want to have influence. The way you do that is simply by investing in the people. And the more you invest in the people, the more you bless people's lives, the more you'll have a place to speak into their lives. So if there's somebody there, for example, at your work, you want to witness to, you want to share with, don't start by trying to give them your testimony. Start by simply investing into them. And here's another way of saying that. Add value to them. Because most people in our world today don't feel of much value. If there's a universal consistent that I see in people, talking about not necessarily in Christ, but just in general, is there's a compromising of the sense of self-worth. They're not good because of, or they're not good enough because of. And I'm talking about beautiful people, intelligent people. Has nothing to do with their credentials. Has to do with a lie they believed about themselves that got sown somewhere in their life. So you begin to add value to people. I promise you, you will have an audience. You will have someone that at some point, somewhere down the line, you'll be able to help change your life. Amen? Let's pray.
We hope today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. Again, to find out more about the ministries of West Kern Christian Center and to access our online resources, you can visit us at wkcconnect.org. Also, we would love to hear from you. You can email us with your comments, questions, and prayer requests at info@wkcconnect.org. We would love to hear from you.